So I hope you all have succeeded in your great escape. And I wanted to clarify a little more about the fifth tunnel, which is the Dharma of infinite greed. If your greed is infinite, it's not only for the ultimate realization of the ungraspable supreme reality, but it's for always having possessed that infinite wealth of consciousness and never having suffered any karma or ever have lost your awareness of your true nature. Not in the past, not in the present, and not in the future. But to give another angle upon this, we need to go back to the very ancient teachings that came through from the original yogis in India and through Tibet and into China, and which were expressed very beautifully by one of the great early Chan masters, whose name is Hui Hai. He's known as the Great Pearl. And he gave the teachings about all the different levels of consciousness that different disciples are in, and each one needs a slightly different teaching because of what they can relate to in their bandwidth of consciousness, but they can't relate to higher levels. And so the gurus, the roshis, the lamas would give very precise, customized initiations, which were then renewed and altered by different empowerments as people grew to higher levels. And he said only a very select few reached the two highest levels of enlightenment. And the highest one he only gave to a very, very few students, which is why there can only be a very small group here now as I tell you about this. And you've all been selected by Shiva to be here for this. So he said the second highest level of enlightenment is what is known as Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. You've probably heard that phrase. We have someone living in an abode of that name. It means the unsurpassable, Anuttara, unsurpassable, perfect Samyak Sambodhi, total enlightenment. And he described this as the enlightenment in which there is no duality between samsara and nirvana. Total non-duality. But for those who could grok that, but they still had greed for more, he taught an even higher level of enlightenment. He called it the marvelous enlightenment. How many would like to be in the marvelous enlightenment? Okay, then. But don't tell anyone else. He said this level of enlightenment is when there is no duality between enlightenment and non-enlightenment. So for those who are greedy to keep their non-enlightened self as well as their enlightened self, this is the perfect teaching. Because your non-enlightened self offers a totally different panorama of enjoyments. But you can have those enjoyments without suffering if you realize the non-duality of that non-enlightened self with your enlightened nature. And then you pass through everything as a beautiful dream. And in each moment, everything is perfect. And so you let go of each past moment and enjoy the perfection of the present. And at each moment, new and greater levels of perfection unfold for you. And this is our true nature, to have both. Samsara and nirvana, enlightenment and non-enlightenment, as the ultimate twin jewels of total realization. But to have this level, you must realize there is no obstruction between the samsaric self that doesn't get it and the nirvanic self that is it. And both are total in themselves and total as non-duality. And it's in this state that nothing more could possibly be wanted. So how many of you will live in marvelous enlightenment? Yes? Yes? Ah, all right. Beautiful. Then you don't need to meditate anymore. You don't need to study. You don't need to learn any teachings. You are complete. Just be happy in the bliss of that knowledge. That no matter what happens to the non-enlightened self, and no matter what its narrative is, you're always enjoying laughing at it and with it. And the beauty of the humor of your God self to create these two identities, Clark Kent and Superman, simultaneously, in order to have every kind of enjoyment is perfection. And you are that. Namaste.
Namaste.
It's been a joy. We'll leave it there for today. Unless anyone has any questions? Yes, please.
Microphone?
Oh, okay, sure.
Thank you for the teaching of today. It's, wow, beautiful how all-embracing and generous. And it's, wow, fascinating how even this, the ego, goes like, nah, this is too good to be real. I can't believe it. It's fascinating.
See, you want to enjoy that too.
Yes.
So it's perfect.
Totally.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's too good not to be true.
I also wanted to say thank you for being here this afternoon. And
I'm just going to take this teaching to let go of all worries, because I notice how much the ego is saying, like, oh, you missed a meditation there, or you didn't meditate as long as you should have. And and then it's like, oh, or, well, if you missed that much, then it's not going to work out anyways. And that's the narrative. I can see it's a narrative.
Uh-huh.
But just taking it as, wow, it's accept.
Let's see, it's the enjoyment of masochistic suffering, right? So enjoy that too. You know, there's no reason to cheat yourself of a little masochistic enjoyment occasionally, okay? But just know that it's all a self-created dream in order to have a different kind of jouissance. It's all perfect.
Yeah, I haven't let it go yet, but it's good to know that I don't have to.
You don't need to let it go. No, it's perfect as it is. There's no need to renounce anything.
Swaha.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. I hadn't considered that the goal is not the goal. It's not necessarily about going from samsara to nirvana, but it's going beyond both.
Uh-huh. That's right. And you're already beyond both. You created both.
When one goes beyond both, do you have both of those?
Yeah, they are. But they are one. They're two sides of a coin. You can't have a coin with one side only. You see, reality actually has the form of a Mobius strip, right? Everyone knows what that is, yeah? So it's like a ring if you take a piece of paper, but you twist it before you connect the two ends. And so if you were to draw a line on one side, it turns out also to be the other side. There's only one side to a Mobius strip, right? So it's like a coin that has only one side, not two, because the two sides actually meet. So that's what reality is. You are always in both samsara and nirvana. Although in linear time, it may look like you're going from samsara to nirvana, and then you're falling back into samsara. But in fact, you're just enjoying both of them simultaneously, always, no obstruction.
So both always exist.
Yeah,
I've been having this question. I've been trying to formulate it to ask in the next satsang, but it's something to do with what changes from one who is, let's say, a non-realized being to a realized being, from non-liberation to liberation. But it seems like there is no change. They're both already there.
Uh-huh, that's right.
But it's like the ego just has that veil and chooses to only see the non-liberated self.
Mm-hmm. But it's a choice. Yeah. And it's your liberated self that's choosing to see only the non-liberated self. Because the two are not different. Okay? So this is very important.
Thank you.
Let's see. We have 3 minutes. Anyone has a last burning question? Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, it's more a general question. When you say there's only a handful, how you make sure you don't fall into the trap of spiritual narcissism? Of course, this humbleness, but you know what I mean? Like, not to think that, I don't know. Yeah, how do you make sure?
How do you define spiritual narcissism?
Yeah, in thinking that you're somehow more developed or more enlightened or more...
Yeah, well, that would be your unenlightened self.
Yes.
That was thinking that.
Yes.
So I wouldn't call it spiritual narcissism. I would call it pseudo-spiritual narcissism, mm-hmm. right? But that pseudo-spiritual narcissism is almost inherent to the non-enlightened part, right?
Okay,
to the ego. Because the ego is always in a state of lack, because it feels it's not enlightened. So it compensates that by what we call master's discourse, by pretending one already knows, right? Because then, you know, you can put up a great front and people will admire you or whatever, but underneath, you know, there's an imposter sense or a feeling of just inauthenticity, right? But if you are really understanding that you are the enlightened self as well as the non-enlightened self, there's no impetus for showing off. There's no benefit in it. And that enjoyment will generally turn into simply the much higher enjoyment of pure being without displaying anything. Unless your role is a teacher, and then you have to give that. But if you're not in that role, or a counselor, or someone, no, then you don't. You don't show off. But if that happens, you don't question yourself either. You just say, okay, the non-enlightened self wanted to enjoy some, master's discourse to impress others, and there's no reaction to it. Okay? Total acceptance. All right, well, there's nothing more to teach, so, you know, consider yourselves complete and have no more questions, doubts, fears, anything else. But if you decide that you do want to still have those, enjoy them to the full and know that that's part of the marvelous enlightenment. Okay, namaste.